Hello, everyone, and thanks so much for tuning into the KevCast. I'm your host, Kevin Winder, author of Getting Better When You Can't. This is a podcast that's designed to help you see beyond everything. I believe you'll find the content interesting, engaging, and even life-changing. Please check out my website at www.kevinwinder.com and be sure to sign up for my weekly newsletter entitled Winder's Windshield. Thanks so much for tuning in, and now on to the KevCast. Hello, everybody. Welcome back to another episode of the KevCast. I'm your host, Kevin Winder. So glad you could tune in and be with me. Today is going to be a slightly abbreviated broadcast. In fact, I'm going to keep them a little short for the next few weeks. You see, I had some feedback that said, hey, your posts are a little bit too long. I like them. I like what you're saying, but you need to say it in a shorter amount of time. And I'm going to do that. So all these posts that I've been doing will be 450 words or less. And that means that the audio recording of them is going to be substantially shorter. And so today we are going to be talking about competition as heart disease. Competition as heart disease. Well, what does that mean? You know, truth, as I've said before, is always disappointing. And since we don't possess all truth, we're not, you know, able to have and know everything that is true. That means that whenever we first encounter truth, it's never what we expect it to be. In fact, oftentimes it's not at all anything we would expect it to be. If it was, then we would already possess it as true, and it would simply be a validation of something we know is true. But if it's something new, if it's a truth that's going to widen us, then it's kind of disappointing because we don't really see it as fitting within our paradigm. And that's important because I'm going to talk about something that doesn't fit within most people's paradigms today, and that is competition. You see, this post may be resisted by some people because competition is everything to you. And as such, I really need you to pay attention and get to the heart of what's behind it. And I am not here to just throw it under the bus, as you'll see, but we need to figure something out. You see, we live in a very competitive culture. We're taught early on about this binary system. We're taught that winning is the penultimate achievement. Our world is really broken up into winners and losers. A binary system is really an on-off, good-bad, valid-invalid, right-wrong. And I've spoken on this before, and I know that that is a useful paradigm. It's a useful way of viewing the world. When we're young, we see the stove as hot or not hot. But as we get older, we see nuances emerging and gray emerges in this black and white binary world. But today we're focusing on the win-lose paradigm. And we see it everywhere. We see it in sports. We see it in business. We see it in education. We see it in cooking. We see it in politics, dating. We see it in religion. It's all about being better, being more or faster or richer or stronger or prettier or smarter or more powerful than others. Competition requires a scarcity worldview in order to exist. In other words, you have to look at the world and see it as a zero-sum game where only one person can win. Now, I know if you're into athletics, you know that if you're on a racetrack around the field and you're running the 400-meter, there is only one winner in the typical sense. The person with the fastest time wins. So I get that. But defining the others as losers misses something. And so we can learn a lot about what is really behind a poor sport here. Our binary scarcity worldview is what fuels it. A zero-sum game mentality is what provides a system where only one can win and everybody else is a loser. This fuels competition as the means of survival, and we're taught that survival of the fittest, right? We're taught that the strong animals kill the weak, but in our human society, we're not allowed to live that way. We're actually beyond it. We don't get rid of the weak and the feeble and the simple. We simply have to imagine a world where they have a valuable contribution, and they do. You see, if your identity is created by competition, then competition is your maker. Okay? So you see where I'm heading with this? I am fully aware of the aspects of competition that are actually really good, and I am not here to diminish competition. We know that competition drives teams and business people, businesses, and individuals to become stronger, to work harder, to be innovative, to go the extra mile in service. You see, comparing performance is very important. And in the world of athletics, it's really fun. But, you know, if you're buying a car, you want to compare the performance of one to the next. I get that. But there's something to the way we think that is important here. The problem resides within the disposition or the heart of the individual. Thus, competition, when it is bad, is actually revealing a spiritual deficiency. It's a disease of the heart. Competition is a disease of the heart when it goes bad. You see, our culture mistakenly links survival to being better than others. And we need to question this. You see, only ego and pride survive in this way. If we follow that train of thought, then the elimination of others is how we are to thrive. And it seems like there was a German in the 1940s that had the same idea. Well, we don't like to think of ourselves like that. We like to think of ourselves as way better than that, right? But an honest introspection usually proves otherwise. How often do we think life would be better if those people were not here? How many times have you got onto the highway and felt that? How many times have you gone to a place, an event, and stepped in line and were like, I wish these people weren't here. I'll never get mine if all these are around. There's too much competition. There's not enough to go around. You see the problem? It's emerging. You see it creeping up inside. It is a disease of the heart. But the truth is, we actually need others to rise up. If rising comes at others falling, it isn't really a rising. It's a distraction from our ultimate reality. You see, is that winning team or that winning car or the winning politician, the winning side, really that much better? Yeah, sure, there's some examples where a win is a huge upset. But in most cases, a win is fractions of a second. It's the minor nuances here or there. And is our biggest opponent really that different from us? If anything, our greatest opponent are those who are most similar to us. And yet we run them through this binary system where they are other than us. We want to destroy them, kill them, crush them, right? So the solution here, if this is a heart condition, the solution is not the abandonment of competition. We are not better off giving everyone a participation trophy. Our world has kind of gone that way, and it's no better. You see, everything changes, though, the moment we replace the binary system of otherness with respect or love for all others. You see, we don't have to diminish another person if they have less skill or less knowledge or less ability. And we don't have to puff ourselves up as if our skill and knowledge and ability was not given to us, as if we just were born with it and possessed it. Sure, we got to work for it, but that work is a combination of our effort with natural ability, with opportunities, with a host of things that we didn't provide for ourselves. So our winning is not us. It's never us. It's always a collective. And the good news here is that we don't lose anything by giving our skill away, our knowledge away, our self away. You see, when I know something and I share it with somebody who doesn't know that, I don't lose that thing that I know, but now that thing that I know has potentiated in an abundant way, and now two of us know it. And so it didn't diminish, it actually potentiates. And so we should not look at others and say, I'm better than you. We should look at others, if we have a skill, a knowledge, or something that they lack, we should look at them and want to serve them and give it away so that they can possess it too. You know, our binary competitive world says that I am not you and you are not me. And that's as far as it can go. And sadly, so many of us out there, that's as far as our thinking can go. But the new world emerges when our hearts finally say, though I am not you, I am also not other than you. And when either or is replaced with and, then heart disease is cured and competition is redeemed. Thanks so much for joining the KevCast, where we learn to see beyond everything. I hope this content has helped you, and I'd love to hear from you if you have any questions or comments or feedback. Until next time, I hope you have an awesome day, and I can't wait to have you come back real soon.